Just like in the other game, you know, I don't have to focus on Mahomes. You know, I got to focus on their defense. I got to focus on scoring. I got to focus on my job and making my offense, you know, do our thing. But my defense got to work by him in the offense.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to First Take above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17.
How likable is Lamar Jackson, by the way?
I love Lamar
like, that
Jackson.
Dude is one of the easiest dude to root for in sports.
How about this? Ryan Clark, no fireplace behind
Man.
You in the flesh.
Are you okay? Are you
good.
Okay?
How
I mean,
does it feel
I mean
to be
you
back?
Ain't around the fireplace. You ain't
right?
surrounded with, you
The
know.
Fireplace is comfortable. You know? I was whipping y'all from in front of the fireplace.
You know, you must be overheated.
So they brought me to your turf.
Is that right?
Right?
Okay.
It's good to have you back, Ryan. Okay. Max, I'll start with you. Who must have the bigger impact tonight amongst these quarterbacks to get a win
see,
in this showdown?
Everyone goes Lamar Jackson, the whole team's offense built around Lamar Jackson. Look at all Mahomes' weapons. No. Mahomes must have a bigger impact for the Chiefs to win, and it's very simple. Ravens given up 22 points so far this season. Not in a game, this season. The Chiefs' defense looks like it's regressed. It looks like, look, I thought the Chiefs' defense was a little bit underrated by the end of 2 years ago, but last year they were pretty good, and that was the real difference. They went from, they should have won the Super Bowl 2 years ago anyway, but they went from not quite getting there to winning the Super Bowl. That defense has not shown up yet this season. But the Ravens look like they're the defending Super Bowl champions the way they play defense. So, yes, Lamar, they have a unique offense built around Lamar Jackson. But Mahomes is going to have to ball all the way out to beat this Ravens team. So it's, in fact, Patrick Mahomes who has to have the bigger game.
I understand. I can respect where you're coming from. I just respectfully disagree because I think that Baltimore's offense is about Lamar Jackson and nothing else. I know Mark Ingram can play. Hollywood Brown is no scrub. Andrews is no scrub. I get a Boykin is no scrub. But in the end, let's face reality here. They got the number three offense and the number three rushing attack because they've got Lamar Jackson. Now, he's completing 77% of his passes, hasn't thrown an interception, thrown four touchdowns.
So
I get all of that.
So
he
good.
Is good.
So
he's good. But the reality is if you really, really look at his numbers right now, he's also the leading rusher on the team. And so you got to take that into consideration. If you take away the threat that he poses running the football, the offense ain't even average. That's what we have to look at here. When I think about Patrick Mahomes, I think about Tyreek Hill. I think about Sammy Watkins. I think about Travis Kelce. Yeah. I think about, you know, Edwards Helaire. You know, I know this brother and what he did last year at LSU.
Oh,
damn
sorry.
It.
I just make sure you got the name right.
I remember. My point is, and Damian Williams might be looking for a job because this brother, now don't mind you, he didn't have a big game last week, but week one when he had 138 yards rushing, we can't ignore what we saw him do. In the end, if you take away even the greatness of the great Patrick Mahomes, you still have some bona fide weapons that an average quarterback can come in there and look relatively decent. Not anything near Patrick Mahomes. But without Lamar Jackson, what do you have? Because he is the one that literally enables them to look as good as they look. You can't – Patrick Mahomes – I'm sorry, when you look at Travis Kelce was looking good before Patrick Mahomes ever arrived. Tyreek Hill was looking good before Patrick Mahomes ever arrived.
But an average quarterback ain't making comebacks in the fourth quarter.
I told you the comebacks. Yeah. I get that. But he wasn't making that. They were looking good before he got there. Mm-hmm. In the case of these brothers in Baltimore, everything evolves around Lamar Jackson.
I feel that way, too. But here's the problem, and here's why it's Lamar Jackson. And here's why y'all are both looking at this too small. I get the question is.
I said Lamar Jackson. He said Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I know. But I get the question is about winning tonight. Mm-hmm. See, this is so much bigger than tonight. Because in the regular season, Lamar Jackson's 21-1 against everybody else in the world, but he's 0-2 against Patrick Mahomes, right? And so there's no indictment on who Lamar Jackson is in the regular season week in and week out. There's no question about can he produce, right? But it goes to the playoffs. And it says in the playoffs, you can't do it. Well, who are you going to have to see in the playoffs? The Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And in the playoffs, it's about, well, when the stakes are higher, when the games are big, Lamar Jackson has to play from behind. He can't do the same things. This team isn't the same. This game takes on a bigger view for Lamar Jackson than it does for Patrick Mahomes, who's already won a Super Bowl, who's already a Super Bowl MVP. So Lamar Jackson not only has to win this game as a team, because I agree with you in this, it's a better overall team. It's a better defense. But Lamar Jackson has to outplay Patrick Mahomes. When he says he's not playing Patrick Mahomes, he's wrong. Every time we looked across the field when I played for the Steelers and we saw Ed Reed and we saw Ray Lewis, Troy, James Ferrier, James Harrison, we'd all say, we got to outplay them. We got to be better than
they are. I love
that
point. Like, in a meta kind of sense, you're absolutely right. In the biggest possible picture, you're absolutely right. Here's my question to you. Lamar Jackson is an extremely accurate passer this year, and for his age, historically, has been an accurate passer every year in the league, but the pass is very much set up by the run. That's the fact of the matter. Take the run away, the passing is not as good. Patrick Mahomes can run, but everything is set up with his passing ability. Here's the question. Can Lamar Jackson set up the run with the pass? Is he good enough to do that? Because when he's good enough to do that, they'll win a Super Bowl. But until then, they may not.
Well, if you watch him now, so his QBR this year is 97, right, with just pocket pass, drop back passes, and he's evolving as a
passer. Set up by the threat of the run a lot.
Exactly, but here's the thing. Just because a guy can dunk doesn't mean he has to go out and shoot three-pointers so he can show you and get to the lane. And that's the same thing with Lamar Jackson. He has a special talent. That special talent has added to what the Baltimore Ravens are on offense. So don't take that away. And it's not necessarily that the run has to be effective on the same day you want to get the pass going. It's the fact that the run threat is always there. And that's the scary thing when you play a Lamar Jackson team. Even if he only rushes for 50 yards in the game or the rushing attack doesn't kill you, you got to have eight in the box. Well, so now Hollywood Brown is by himself. Andrews is by himself. And so to me, this team tonight, it's not about how great the Baltimore Ravens play on defense. It's how much can Lamar Jackson outplay Patrick Mahomes in a game that through 2 weeks, Patrick Mahomes hasn't been himself. He wants to prove it tonight as well.
I have to concede that you're completely right, because in the two games that he's lost to Patrick Mahomes, they lost 27-24, and they lost 33-28. First time around, remember, he didn't start that season. Lamar Jackson came in late on in the season, threw for about 167 yards. I got it. Last year, he threw for like 267 yards, but didn't throw a touchdown. Patrick Mahomes has thrown for over 370 yards. Both times, he's going against Lamar Jackson. Yep. So you are absolutely right, because based on the score and how we saw them perform, it literally has come down to Patrick Mahomes being that difference against Lamar Jackson.
But that means that if he's not, they lose. Like, this is my point. If you want to not change the question, but change the perspective, take a step back, you're right. I can't argue against that point. It's a very good one. But for the purposes of this game, in order for the Chiefs to win, Mahomes has got to outplay him because his defense isn't as good. Like, if Mahomes doesn't do that Superman stuff, how are they going to beat the Ravens?
No, you're right. You're right about that. For tonight, Patrick Mahomes got to be Patrick Mahomes. And he hasn't been, to me, the first 2 weeks of the season. And so I think this game sets a bigger tone for him.
It's a good game.
But, man, Lamar Jackson has so much riding on him when it comes to what the Baltimore Ravens do on offense.
21-1 against everyone not
named
Patrick Mahomes.
And so we need to see that tonight.
All right, give me picks real quick.
I got the Ravens.
I'm taking the Chiefs always. Till, you know, prove me wrong.
I'm going to go with the Ravens tonight.
Okay, let's get it. Can't
Max
wait.
Will be
Monday
wrong
night
tomorrow.
We'll break it all down tomorrow.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Falcons fans, look away. The Bears roared back from trailing by 16 points, only 7 minutes to go, thanks to the fourth quarter heroics of backup QB Nick Foles after Mitch Trubisky was benched in the third. Foles finished with 188 yards, 3 TDs to lead his team to the win, and a 3-0 start. Let's hear from both quarterbacks.
It wasn't Matt. It was Coach Lazor. It kind of happened out of nowhere. He just said, Nick is up, and that was that. So I just accepted the news. I I had Nick's back, like he's had mine, and the situation sucked, but it was just the flow of the game, how it was happening. Coach made a decision that he felt was best for the team.
Where he's been, and it's not easy, but he was supporting me 100%. I know the emotions are real because I've been there. I've been there recently.
Stephen A., Bears are 3-0. Nick Foles should be named the starter now, right?
No, not yet. But before I say that, the one thing I do want to say about Mitchell Trubisky is that somebody needs to tell him that the only thing about him right now that looks good is his face. The fact that he doesn't have any acne or anything like that. I don't know whether it's been glossed over, airbrushed, or whatever. I'm just saying, as somebody that has learned to pay attention to the smooth, I tried to get my face smooth now. You understand what I'm saying? He doesn't have any acne problems. That's about it. Outside of that, everything looks bad about Mitchell Trubisky right now. Having said all of that, here's what I want to remind people. Nick Foles had a really, really nice run with the Philadelphia Eagles when Carson Wentz went down in 2017. He led them to a Super Bowl. We got that. We know what he did in 2018, okay, because Carson Wentz gets hurt again. He guides them to the postseason, a victory over, was it Chicago or New Orleans? I know he won one, he lost to the other. I think he lost to New Orleans, but he beat Chicago. Yep. It was either one or the other. Bottom line is he was 0-4 last year, okay? And even though he was injured in Jacksonville and what have you, before that year, those 2 years in Philadelphia, he was struggling. Last year, he struggled. When you give him the keys too early is my point. Nick Foles folds. Mm. So to me, you wait late. I'm not saying he shouldn't be the starter, but let him be the starter as the season progresses. 10, 11, 12 games into the season. You got about 4 or 5 weeks to go. You need to make that stretch run because Aaron Rodgers is doing his thing. Drew Brees and Tom Brady might be doing their thing in the South. Of course, whether it's Garoppolo or Mullins or with Goff or Russell Wilson, they're doing their thing in the West, and somebody got to come out of the NFC East. When you're there, then you bring Nick Foles in. You bring him in now, it's too damn early, and then he'll mess up. And if he messes up, then you got to go back to Trubisky. And Trubisky has shown he can't be relied upon. Why would we do that too early?
In a perfect world, you're absolutely right. In a perfect world, ideally this would have happened on the back nine, right? Mm-hmm. But here we are. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing about Nick Foles. Everyone thinks it's just like this magic pixie dust he spreads, right? He's not really talented. When I moved out to L.A. to do L.A. radio, I never really watched the Pac-12 too tough at that time.
I just wish you didn't mention L.A., but go ahead.
I never watched the Pac-12 too tough at that point, right? Because not too much going on there. But I looked at the quarterbacks, and Matt Barkley was a big deal in L.A., SC, and he was considered, if not for Andrew Luck, maybe the best player in the Pac-12. I watched Nick Foles carve up SC at Arizona. Everyone was giving Brock Osweiler a lot of press. I was like, okay, Andrew Luck is the best. Nick Foles is clearly the second best quarterback in the Pac-12, right? That was college. He turns pro the first time he gets coaching where it works with him. 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, Chip Kelly. It's not a mirage. When you actually give him the responsibility of a team with the right coaching for him, he's not a dude who's so uber talented. Any team it's going to work with the right coaching, he performs extremely well. Then you look at the Eagles. He wins the Super Bowl. The net Super Bowl MVP. The very next season, he plays them into the playoffs, right, when Wentz gets hurt. They weren't going to be in the playoffs. He beats the Bears on the road, a defense people say may win the Super Bowl. He then goes to New Orleans, almost beat the Saints on the road. Every time you give him the right coaching, Nick Foles is a winner. What happened with the Bears yesterday? Nick Foles threw 3 fourth-quarter touchdowns.
Matt, against the Falcons.
Say it again.
Against the Falcons.
Yes.
Against the Falcons.
Here's two ways the Falcons play into this. One, you understand that what Nick Foles did against the Falcons isn't new. Russell Wilson did it. We watched Dak Prescott do it. And then Nick Foles comes in and does it. But who couldn't? Who wasn't?
Mitchell Trubisky.
Right. And that's your issue. For as much as we want to say great things about Nick Foles, it's not about Nick Foles. The San Francisco 49ers, they're more like the San Francisco 39ers now because they don't have all their people, right?
Right.
They played the New York Giants, and they absolutely went crazy. Mullins, Brandon Ayuk, Jordan Reed.
Mullins looking like the second coming of Joe Montana.
Exactly. But you know who had a terrible second
half? Danny Nichols.
And threw 2 interceptions against the New York Giants last week? Mitchell Trubisky. See, that's your issue. But I still believe that's the reason that Matt Nagy went with him. Because he said, we know which guy can come off the bench and play. We know a guy has the mental fortitude to say, you know what, I didn't win the job right away, but whenever I'm pressed into play, I can go do it. It's Nick Foles.
What about the way his teammates respond to
him? So you agree with me?
No, I don't.
Why not?
I don't, because he made the move. They were planning on this move.
Right.
Mr. Trubisky wasn't awful yesterday. He was bad, but I've seen him worse. They were waiting for the interception. They were waiting for the opportunity, because when they picked him at the beginning of the year, they knew this time would come. I agree with you. They hoped they would be on the backstretch. You hope that you would be in the playoff run. Mitchell does some things, and now you could put Nick Foles in. It's over. You can't pull that dude week three against the Atlanta Falcons, who were 0-2 at the time. They are stumping you out, and then say, you know what, Mitch, go back out there. Because what are you telling your team? You're telling your team you don't know. You're telling your team you have no hold on it, Stephen A.
I feel you, but I just think because of who Nick Foles is and what he has proven to be, and you know that you have that safety blanket available to you, I think you can stretch it out. Because what you can't do, listen, you're worried. Nick Foles just came off an injury last year, y'all. You know, durability is not his trademark
now. That's a good point.
And so when you have that as a problem, you want to safeguard him as much as you possibly can. Mitchell Trubisky could know that Nick Foles is coming in. He could know it's inevitable. But if you buy yourself time and you find a way to win games, I think you can pull it off.
When you look at Mitchell Trubisky on the sideline yesterday with his helmet on, looking like Ricky Williams doing an interview, right, after practice, does that look like a dude that you could play around with?
Let me ask something about Foles.
A dude that you think is strong?
No, it's over. But let me ask something about Foles. Why are we assuming, okay, health aside, because you could say that about a couple quarterbacks around the league.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we assuming that he can't be a real quarterback for a championship team wire to wire? Like,
Trubisky?
If you look, Foles.
Oh, okay.
Because Foles, when he was, Foles had Fisher as a coach at one point, right? Come on.
We know.
You're
going
to hold that against him? He goes to a team that is not good and he gets his money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to really hold that against him? Not a good team. They looked a little better than they actually were before he got there. Every time he's had a realistic opportunity with the right coaching, he's been excellent. Why do we assume he just can't be excellent?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Molly?
Can I get in here with coaching real quick?
Sure.
Because I want to go the other side of it with the Atlanta Falcons. Dan Quinn, we know what he did with the Seahawks when he was a defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Is it time to replace him?
I said it last week, Molly.
Yep.
I said it last week. It's time for him to go.
And it happened
again.
Time for
him because first of all, defense is supposed to be your signature. I'm very big. I'm a stickler for this. Do your job first. Whatever your job is, how did you become a head coach? It's because of what you did as a coordinator. And now you go and you have the biggest collapse in Super Bowl history when you give up a 28-3 lead and they've never recovered. So because of that, you've had 3 years. And we've seen they're going in the wrong direction. They're plummeting before our very eyes. You got a $30 million experienced quarterback in Matt Ryan. And on top of this, you got Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, and you can't manage to win. If somebody spots you 20 points, at the very least, keep
and
scoring.
By the way, here's the thing. They're not that bad. The Falcons are not that bad.
He's got to go.
Hey, you know what happens, though? When the Falcons get up 20, teams go, hey, man, we got it right,
right
where we
want.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
because they make mistakes.
This team is 24-26 since the collapse against the New England Patriots.
Right.
And if you continue to lose in this manner, if you were finding new ways to lose and new problems, but this team gets up and the team that they're facing go, you know what? We still have a chance because it's the Atlanta Falcons. And then the Atlanta Falcons on their sidelines go, hey, guys, the other team still has a chance because we're the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
That starts at the top.
And it's not even because of talent.
But when
it's because they're just not all there.
The problem is when there's failure on every level, when there's special teams failures, when there's offensive failures, when there's defensive failures, it can only go to the top.
Okay, so how much of that, though, to me it felt like the Falcons were a little ahead of the curve offensively when they were really, really good. Then the league tends to catch up. Like, I'm looking at McVay in L.A. thinking he's ahead of the curve. Everyone's bewildered. Then the league adjusts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lesser season. Now he's making another adjustment. How much of it is that the league kind of adjusted to the Falcons and maybe Quinn has not readjusted to the league?
My response to that is it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Because it's his job to figure that out, just like the league is figuring them out. Mm-hmm. You're going in the wrong direction.
But what do you think is going to happen by switching out coaches
Excuse me. It can't get worse. Hell no, it can't get worse.
These are the Falcons.
They can't get worse. It can't get worse.
Falcons are a heartbreak organization.
You're not winning games.
That's not something new.
To me, it's about making the decision and saying that what's going on is not above the line, that we will not allow it as an organization. Yeah. So now you put the players on notice as well as, look, man, we are about cleaning house because we are about winning. When you let this continue to go on and you start to let these things happen, people aren't on edge and people aren't trying to be better.
By the way, as an aside, you brought up Fisher when you mentioned Nick Foles. Let's make sure our audience understands who you're talking about. Jeff Fisher! Let's not confuse. Let's make sure we know.
All right.
First name, last name. That's how old he was.
Bobby Fisher?
Remember that.
The Fisher King?
Bobby, whoever. No, Jeff Fisher.
I don't want to focus on Jeff Fisher. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. How about those Rams came back from a 25-point deficit against the Bills, but that wasn't quite enough to beat the now 3-0 Buffalo team led by Josh Allen. The big story from that game, pass interference call on fourth down that led to the game-winning Bills touchdown. That's why we needed a former DB here to break this one down. But I'll start with the Ivy League grad. Max, were the Rams robbed by that PI call?
No, they weren't robbed. It was a bad call. Like, I think it was a bad call, although I've seen worse. You know, like, well, he wasn't really throwing to a receiver. You know, I mean, that happens. They get a little rough, and then a quarterback maybe gets away with one or something. You know, like, it happens. But I think what people are reacting to or overreacting to is you are seeing this historical comeback, right? Mm. So that drama you don't want decided on a PI call, and I think that's what people are reacting to. You can't say they got robbed. Josh Allen threw 5 touchdowns. You're going to say they got robbed. The Bills are an excellent team. And they're a well-rounded, excellent team. And their quarterback, who's still in the MVP race, I know it's week 3,
He's
still in the MVP conversation with Russell Wilson, and let's see what happens tonight. And threw 5 touchdown passes. But no, it's the PI call that robbed the Rams. Come on, stop. It was probably a bad call. I think it was a bad call. People are reacting to the fact that they didn't want to see a game decided on that. They wanted to see drama of a comeback.
Well, first of all, if the game is decided by an official in most people's eyes, that would qualify as being robbed. And that's why I believe they were robbed, because they were down by 25 points. They came back. They had the lead. Okay? Here you are in a situation where, what was it? Was it third? What was it?
Fourth and eighth.
Fourth and eighth, right? Gabriel Davis, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. That's his name, okay?
Yep.
Darius Williams. They're literally tugging on each other. The official has no business interfering with a play like that. Let them play. Let them play. We watch the players play. We understand that there's certain obvious things that you just can't allow to transpire because rules are rules, and we get all of that. But when something is going on and it's even keel, it's 50-50, it's me against you, with the game on the line and the official is the one that makes the call to save the day, and it's so highly questionable, I think that qualifies as robbery. And that's what I think was transpiring here. Now, if the Bills would have won down 25 and they came back and the game got saved or something, I still wouldn't like it, but it would be a bit different. But Aaron Donald was a monster in the second half, had about 5 different pressures, had about 2 quarterback sacks, was all over the place. Just a monster, okay? He was all over the place, all right? And Josh Allen and that offense was significantly neutralized. So if you're not doing anything, and then the official is the one that comes and saves you. I think that qualifies as robbery.
Okay, I was rocking with you, and I was jogging with you, and I was on the Peloton with you. Then I had to jump off like a rat on a motorcycle, like when RG3 used to run the football, because you're wrong. Now, it's a terrible call, right? Darius Williams is him and Gabriel Davis up. Josh Allen gets pressured, so he throws the ball. It's not even the route, but officials don't even know that. But I could be right, I could be wrong, but I can't be no hypocrite. Because I sat up here 2 years ago after the NFC Championship, and I said, yeah, it was a terrible call. But guess who had an opportunity to win the game? The New Orleans Saints, because they had more plays. The Rams had an opportunity to win this game before this, and they did all those things you said they did. They also had 3rd and 22. And then they had 3rd and 25. 2 passes to Cole Beasley, and it puts you at 4th and 8. You got to go make a play. And then you have plays to make after that. And I get it. We want referees to swallow their whistles at that point, Stephen A., right? The same way that when we saw, well, I think it was Milwaukee and Milwaukee and Miami, and they got the bad calls at the end, and you shoot the ball
at
the
end. That was
horrible. And then Jimmy Butler gets to the free throw line and wins the game.
That was horrible.
We don't want to see those things. But if that's the way the officials see it, that's the way the officials have to call it.
I want to ask you something about, like, I think it was probably a bad call, but I'm not nearly as strong on, oh, my God, it's the worst call I ever saw. Because there was some roughhousing,
yep.
But the bottom line is the receiver grabbed,
Darius Williams.
Right.
They grabbed each other, though. They grabbed each other.
An official could argue that really did affect the play. It didn't appear to me, but that was the last dude holding on.
Now, you know what happens, man. Like, sometimes two people get in a fight, but then everybody's mad at the dude that wins. That's what was happening there. Darius Williams was just winning. He had him locked up off the line. It's a bad call because he was never in his route. Josh Allen is just throwing the ball up in a situation where they're still pressed up in man. That's why they get the call. If that's in a space within 5 yards where you can still have your hands on the wide receiver, the play is actually called a pass interference because the ball is in the air.
Right,
You watch, Davis is breaking inside because that was the route. Josh Allen's just getting rid of it. It's a terrible call, Stephen A. I agree with you in that. But Aaron Donald balling, coming back down from 25, none of that matters to the official. The official can't refuse to make a call that he feels he has to make because the Rams were playing good.
Well, I'm not implying that at all. What I'm saying is that because it was such a toss-up, you do have, and I've always been, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite either because I'm very consistent about this, particularly when it comes to the NBA. When it's up for grabs, let the players decide.
I'm not mad at that.
Let the players decide. I'm not saying ignore a call that's obvious. I'm not implying that should transpire. What I'm trying to say is that, like you just said, Gabriel Davis wasn't even in his route. They were definitely tugging on one another. It was a highly, highly questionable call.
I agree with that.
Why are you deciding it? Because let's face reality. I get upset at this notion that referees shouldn't be human. Like, just call it, right? Excuse me. You have to take the moment into consideration. Yes, Mark Davis, if I remember correctly, the NBA referee that made the call against Giannis and those boys. Yes, I thought it was an awful call. But forgive me if it elevates exponentially because, my God, you're talking about it's a tie score and you're going to hand the Miami Heat a playoff game with no time on the clock over calls like that?
Sometimes a dude like James Harden might flop and get a call at the end of the game. If Josh Allen doesn't throw the ball, there's no chance to even get the call. And this is a dude who threw 5 touchdowns that game. So luck is the residue of design.
I think so. And here's the other piece. With it being a toss-up, if they don't make the call, are we having this same discussion about the Buffalo Bills? Are we saying that the Buffalo Bills should have gotten a defensive pass interference and they didn't, and they would have an opportunity to win the game? That's kind of where it is.
That's why I don't think it's an awful call.
So the huge deal that makes it different, what you're talking about with the Jimmy Butler situation, is that it's tied. They at least have a chance. You go into overtime. If you don't call this and you think it's a pass interference, the game is over for the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
That's 4th down.
My personal opinion is that we wouldn't have been talking about that much. We would have been talking about how the Bills blew a 25-point lead.
We were caught up
in the
drama.
That's my personal opinion. Am I lying? Am I lying?
Can I tell you the
only
reason?
We were caught up in the drama of the comeback. That's why it's being made such a big deal.
Can I tell you why your personal opinion only matters right now? Because y'all actually picked the topics that way. Other than that, I mean, it really wouldn't matter. He's like, I tell you, we'd be talking about
this. Well, that's the object of the show. Take notes. Maybe y'all should
Here's
do that a little bit more on NFL Live and stuff like that.
Maybe you should try. Maybe you should try. 20 years. Okay. Damn this right. loss might come to haunt them down the stretch. We know how tough the NFC West is if they're trying to get the wild card to get into the playoffs.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Oh, here's a little message for Stephen A. and Max. I am dying right now. Kendrick Perkins, you have made my life. Not only were you so good at the top of the show when you just own these two, but that picture, I was just sitting here staring at it, cheesing, trying to be a professional.
Grandpa. Oh,
there he is. Hey, Perk.
Hey, Molly, look, Stephen A., you could blame Max for that picture because y'all, the debate was kind of even at the time until he brought up Jeff Hornacek, and then y'all just took the L.
You so, act like Hornacek you know, could play hey, an all-star team.
I ain't mad at it. We kind of deserve that when you bring up Hornacek in that
you
conversation.
You act like he could play.
He could play, but come on.
He was an all-star.
Listen. I keep trying to tell you sometimes your basketball card needs to be confiscated.
Oh, yeah? Ask coaches around the league.
Let's remind everybody what the debate was, though, to be fair. Was LeBron, is he now closing the gap on MJ if he gets a win, obviously, because he's going to his 10th finals? That's what it was all about. But that photo, can I just see it one more time, please? I just need to see their baby chubby arms. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. It is so good.
Perk, I ain't mad.
I ain't mad. Perk, thank you for being
with
us. I
had to get him.
I needed a smile like that. Yeah.
No problem, Molly. I mean, you know, they attacked me, you know, talking about that I look 60, and Max was, you know, trying to, you know, go in my age and basically saying that I'm looking old, huh? Yeah, Max, you always talk about how old I look.
Dude, you say you're
an
old soul.
And I don't look 35. Yeah, that don't mean I look old. I just said I have an old soul. It's a difference, Max.
Look at you. You're mean-mugging now. You don't even mean to. You look like a grumpy old man, and you're 35. What's going to happen when you're actually an old man?
You don't look old,
I know you mad today, man. You had to hold it L, but, hey, you lost it today. I mean, you dropped Jeff Hornacek's name and Stephen A. I feel sorry for your loss that you had to jump on that boat with him.
Well, listen, I didn't jump on a boat. I jumped off the boat the minute he said Hornacek. Let's not forget
Okay, I'm glad you two are on the record like Hornacek was a bad play. Hornacek
wasn't a bad play.
He was an all-star.
He can't be mentioned in the same breath.
KP, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for that. That was gold. Fellas, I want to get into Monday Night Football, though. Stephen A., it is the Chiefs and the Ravens. Tell me who wins and tell me why.
I'm going to roll with the Ravens for tonight. I just think that Lamar Jackson is due one against Patrick Mahomes. I think that their defense, obviously, it has been stellar, although it was against Cleveland and Houston. We understand that Kansas City is a different animal. But I think that Lamar Jackson is going to put on the show tonight. I think Kansas City's defense is highly suspect compared to what it's been even last year or the year before that. And as a result, this is one of those games where Lamar Jackson finally wins a regular season game against Patrick Mahomes.
I have no good reason to take the Chiefs over the Ravens, except for the best one of all, and that's Patrick Mahomes. The stat that Ryan Clark brought up earlier is staggering. Regular season, this dude, Lamar Jackson, is 21-1.
Against everybody but Patrick Mahomes.
And 0-2 against Mahomes. Ravens have a better defense. Lamar Jackson is having another MVP-caliber season so far. I have faith in Patrick Mahomes. He just always gets it done.
Let me get in this quickly because it's important. History was made yesterday in the Browns-Washington football game. For the first time ever in the NFL, women were on both sidelines coaching on the field officiating. That included Cleveland Chief of Staff Callie Brownson, Washington Offensive Assistant Intern Jennifer King, and Sarah Thomas, who in 2015 became the first full-time female official in league history. What is the significance of this, Stephen A., in
your mind? I think it's incredibly important. The fact of the matter is I think there should be a female head coach in the NBA. I'm one of those guys. I'm a proponent of that. There's a lot of females that are absolutely positively brilliant in the world of sports. They're knowledgeable, and they've garnered the respect of the male athletes that they coach and assist in any way. I think they deserve a chance, especially in the NBA, where I see men coaching in the WNBA. Matter of fact, I've been on the record. I don't think a man should be allowed to coach in the WNBA until they have a woman in the NBA.
If you see any profession and it's dominated by only one kind of people, be it men or white people or whatever it is, it means the job isn't being done well enough because you're excluding an enormous percentage of the potential workforce. In this case, 50% of the talent base isn't being used. So the fact that you see this now being integrated in terms of gender is going to mean that a better job will be done.
It's amazing. Stephen A., Lakers Heat, pack your bags. Just kidding.
That was a low blow. Molly.
I'm laughing at myself, too. Actually, I'm crying.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.